game.
Yeah. Oh man, we're live in the studio with the landing crew tonight.
What's going on,
y'all? Yay! All right. You hear that music? You know it's Thursday night, right here on Blog Talk Radio with Kayak Fishing Radio. We got the landing crew, Mark Wheeler Jr., in studio tonight. Hey, say hey.
Hey.
All right. Now he doesn't have to, you know, call on the phone, you know, because he's right here. We're heading to Jacksonville tomorrow to Little Talbot Island, and we're excited. I'm your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as the Bad Bat Cast, and we're going to meet up with the Yak Angler crew for the President's Day boondoggle up in Jacksonville. We're excited. I mean, I haven't been fishing. When was the last time I went fishing? Right before Thanksgiving. So I'm like, I'm excited to get out there, man. It's been too long. I'm running out of chest hair to pull out, man. But
you already finished with the head hair.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, we're going to be fishing this weekend, man. I don't have to be back to work till Wednesday, man. That's right. Thank you, kids. Thank you. So anyway, we got the landing crew here. And on the phone with me tonight, my special guest is the always illustrious and always popular Randy Vining from Georgia. And he's out in the backcountry wilderness of Georgia. We're going to talk about river bass fishing up there, man. How you doing, Randy?
Great, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. I'm glad to get you on here. You know, Chip was the one that he told me, "Hey, you got to get this guy. He loves bass fishing. He loves talking about bass fishing, and he says that you up there in the Georgia rivers that you catch like up to, you know, 12 different species of bass. Is that correct?"
Well, that's not 12. There's actually 9 black bass species.
No kidding.
We're not talking about like stripers, you know,
right.
But the black bass species. There's actually 9 in the United States.
No
and
kidding.
8 of those 9 are here in Georgia.
Now, I know in Florida, we get quite a few. There's the same thing in Florida. There's so many different strains, as it were, of the largemouth bass, black bass species. You know, we have Suwannee River bass and the, what do you call it? What are those bass with
spotties,
the
spotties?
Yeah,
smallmouth.
We don't get smallmouth down here, but we they have an orange eye and it looks like a largemouth
red
eye. Yeah, that's the one.
Or rock bass.
Rock bass. Yeah, we used to catch those up north, but yeah, we don't get stripers south of the St. John's, and we don't get any smallmouths in Florida unless they're in the Panhandle. I don't know of any. You know, south of the St. John's. So you get smallies up there too?
Yeah, we have smallies here, both in some reservoirs and in some rivers. And actually, Georgia is the only state that has that many of the black bass species. No other state has that many. The only one that we don't have is the Guadalupe, and that's in Texas.
No kidding. Now, what is that like a strain of a largemouth bass, or is it totally different?
No, it's just black bass species, which is really a sunfish species, by the way, but it's the black bass, you know, if you go by their scientific name, and I'm not even sure what it is, but they call them black bass.
It's something Greek.
Right, exactly, which I don't speak very well at all.
Yeah, I don't either. That's okay. But,
we have eight. There's, you know, everybody argues about whether they just came out with a new spotted bass. Now, there was always the Kentucky spot. Now, there's the Alabama spot that they've decided was a different species. So.
Now, what do you think, what do you get size-wise up there? You know, your average typical Georgia River bass? What are you looking at size-wise, like pound-wise?
Well, most of the bass that I fish for are what we call a shoal bass.
Yeah.
And the average is probably 3 pounds, something like that, 2 to 3
That's
pounds.
That's not bad. Those are fun.
But they come much bigger. Actually, you guys in Florida own the world record at 812. That
wow,
came out of
Chipola
River in
Florida. Is that for shoal bass, you mean?
For shoal bass, right.
Wow. That's pretty
but
cool.
But you guys have pretty much lost your shoal bass now.
Really?
There's a little bit left, but most of yours are gone.
No kidding.
I think the next record is going to come from Georgia, and I missed that record back in September by about a pound. I caught one that weighed 7.4. Of course, that was in September. Had I caught her spring, she would have been the world record, I think.
Yeah,
that's a big shoalie right there.
Yeah,
yeah,
she was a long, skinny bass, and had she had some weight on her in the spring. But you know what? I put her back. I know where she is.
There you go.
Yeah, you know. Now I've heard. Now I used to fish a lot for bass. I was a big into bass years ago, before I got into saltwater fishing, and you know, I'll tell you, man. It's definitely a different thing. It's hard to, for me, you know, to be into different, you know, kinds of fish. You know, I get sucked into different fish at any given time, and you know, and I go through, you know, times where, you know, I'll get stuck on a fish for a while. Like, God, for the long, I was on bonefish for the longest time, you know. But when I used to fish for bass, we got a lot of golf course ponds and apartment complex ponds down here in Florida. And I found some of the best bass ever just fishing right here in, you know, right in Clearwater, you know, and in Largo and stuff with just, you know, plastic worms and stuff like that. And it's not uncommon to pick up a 10-pound bass out of a golf course pond or an apartment complex pond because nobody fishes them, you know. They've never seen a lure before, ever.
Right. We have the same thing here. I'm not above throwing a kayak in a golf course pond.
Yeah.
You should try it.
I do.
That's cool. So what kind of kayak do you use, Randy?
Well, it depends on which day I go. I'm one of those lucky guys that being on the pro staff allows me to have a few kayaks. I have about 16 kayaks now, I guess.
Wow.
So,
you know, just a couple handfuls. You
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Tupperware Navy.
Right. It kind of depends on where I'm going. You know, most of the time on the river, I'm fishing out of an ocean kayak drifter.
Nice.
That thing, you know, on the river, it turns really, really fast, and it's really stable, and, you know, you can stand and fish out of it. It's a good river boat now.
Is that
you put it out there in the flats, and it'll spin around like a top on you with the wind blowing.
Is that a 10-footer?
It's 12.7.
Ah, okay. What was the one I was thinking of a Moken, I think.
Yeah, the Moken Feel Free.
Yeah,
with
That's
the wheel.
That's about the only 10-footer that I know of right now. That's,
well, you got the Tarpon
that's that
100.
One. Right.
Which is a great, great river boat. You got the Drifters, which are also great. The Jackson Cruises.
The Trident 11 is a good river boat as well.
Yes.
Now,
very
Mark,
good one.
Do you do bass fishing up in Virginia? I mean, on rivers?
Yeah. I fish the James and the New River.
Nice.
Potomac I've been on once for the smallmouth bass.
Now, what would you say, Randy, is the difference between, like, bass fishing for bass in rivers as opposed to lakes? Do you find them in the same spots, or is it different?
Oh, it's different, especially when we are fishing for the species of shoal bass. For those shoal bass, you're looking for rocky rivers and fishing around, fishing the seams behind the rocks and the eddies behind the rocks and the seams between the rocks, things like that, where, you know, just like any other fish, you know, bass relate to structure, and the shoal bass relate to the structure of the rocks.
Right, kind of like trout fishing, you know, looking for eddies and stuff
that's,
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, when you move away from the rocks and you get into some, like, slack water, some just kind of backwater or whatever, then you'll be throwing against the bank for the trees and things like that. Then you find more largemouth and spotted bass.
Now fishing, you know, with a lot of current like that, I mean, is there a lot of current, or is it just kind of mediocre current, or, you know, what do you push in there? You know, what's pushing you? Is it just depend on time of year, or you know, what river you're on or something? And do you have to use a lot more weight, you know, to correspond with the current, you know, river fishing for bass?
Well, generally, you know, you don't want to be out there when, like, we just had a heck of a rain last week and the rivers are just now starting to get back down to where they're
right.
fishable. If you get out there in the rivers, the current's just too bad. It's just tough to fish. But there's a pretty good little current, not anything really heavy. Of course, when you get to the shoals where the river starts kind of speeding up going through those rocks, you just wedge yourself on a rock and sit there and fish some of those seams, or maybe get out and wade around a little bit.
Yes, we do the same thing on, like, the James and the New River, especially the New River. I don't know if you're familiar with that one up in Virginia and West Virginia, Randy, but it's pretty much the same situation. Only difference is that we go after the smallies, throwing, you know, small jigs and Senkos, cranks, topwaters, things like that, you know, to coerce those big slab, bronzy, beautiful.
Yeah,
man, pajamas out of there. I wanted to say curse word, but I know that wouldn't go very far.
Yeah, right.
But you know, being able to control your kayak and to understand what you can and cannot do in a kayak, as you can attest to, Randy. You know, in a swift moving river, is very key. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I use a drag chain a lot. When I'm fishing the rivers as well. So that, you know, I use that to help slow me down. So
is it kind of like a drift anchor?
Well, kind of, sort of. What I do, you know, us rednecks here in Georgia, man, we I get one of these retractable dog leashes from Wally World.
Yeah.
And tie about a 18 inches of 3/8 inch galvanized chain on the end of it. And then, you know, with that dog leash, I can control how much I let out. And the other good thing is you don't have a bunch of line laying around in your boat. Just when you – obviously, the leash itself isn't strong enough to pull the chain in, but as you pull the line in, it goes inside that retractable dog leash, so you don't have line laying everywhere.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I never thought about that.
I've actually used the same system. I've got the 50-foot – set up and the 25-foot set up. You know, one has a 3/4-inch chain, and what I kind of got fancy. I took an old bike inner tube and, you know, slid that over top to kind of quiet the noise a little bit, running through all those rocks and everything else. I've actually had it where I've snagged it, broke the line off, needed a drag anchor coming up for a section of the James River that was pretty swift, took the sock that I had on, filled it with rocks, tied the sock off with a rope, and dropped that over. As a drag anchor.
Hey, nothing like improvising on the fly.
Improvise, man. Adapt, and overcome.
And, you know, I rig mine on a anchor trolley, and most of the time I float down the river backwards because I'm casting upstream.
Yeah.
Or at least 45 degrees upstream. So I throw run the anchor trolley to the front and got the drag chain hanging out the front up there.
That's, yeah, I do that too. You know, a lot of times fishing currents. You know, I live in Clearwater, Florida, so
right.
I fish flats a lot, and a lot of times on tides, I don't, you know, I'll face into the tide, you know, the current coming in, and be anchored off that way.
Right.
That way, you know, and it's kind of funny because, or I'll be drifting the flat backwards, you know, I'll be going backwards down the flat,
exactly.
You know, just drifting over it, you know, and people look at me sometimes funny, and I'm like, hey, you know, you got to cast into it.
It's all about presenting the bait in a natural way.
Exactly.
The bait's not going to go upstream. It's going to flow downstream. That's why, you know, when I take people out, you know, on rivers, and let them understand the whole process, I gave them a Senko. Nothing's easier than seeing an eddy, cast the Senko about 25 yards up above it, and let it drift on down and then bounce over that last little rock into that eddy and get washed in that backwash, you know, to give it a truly wounded fish, whatever the Senko was impersonating at that time, appeal and the natural striking, you know, mamba jamba, brown's back, you know,
yeah,
little Ted
exactly.
Nugent right here, you know.
Now,
moment.
Do you get smallmouths up there, Randy?
We do have smallmouth here, both in the river and some of the reservoirs. Of course, they're more, they're in the cooler water, so they're more in the northern part of Georgia. We got some in the Hooch in Atlanta, and
yeah.
Also they've been stocked now in the Savannah over around Augusta as well. So,
wow, really? They've been stocked?
You know, again, that's
awesome.
Why Georgia is such a great place to go bass fishing, man, because we may not have the biggest fish in the world, although the world record was caught here. And where was that caught? On a river.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've been fishing quite a bit in Georgia, believe it or not. I used to go to Lake Lanier and fish there a lot.
Right.
I know that's not a river and all that, but and also Clark's Hill up at the border of South Carolina
right.
there. That's another great. That's a great bass fishing lake, man. Believe it or not, if you hit that in the right time, and you get topwater action when those like the shad and everything are all schooled up in there, dude,
right.
that is some serious topwater action there. At Clark's Hill. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember what time of year that was, but I'm not kidding you. You can throw top water all day long there, and it'll be one fish after as soon as you can get your lure back in the water, man. Now they're
right.
not giants either, you know. And you got some hybrids up there, and you know, largemouth and everything. But yeah, man, that's I've definitely been fishing up there a couple of times, and I got to say I like it, you know, as a bass guy.
And nothing,
right.
you know, if you're taking especially a saltwater guy who's used to, you know, bang, 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 catching fish, you know, a lot of excitement. Nothing's better than when you got a good shad run. I mean, you can attest to this when they're running and they got all the shad balled up nice and tight and they're on the surface throwing a topwater buzz, soft plastic, you know, floating turd. You know, anything that looks like a shad at that moment, you know, how much fun that can be when they're just
yeah.
reckless almost.
Right.
I'm not kidding you,
right.
though. Bass fishing is a totally different, you know, but it all comes back to the same thing. You know, I use all of my bass fishing skills that I used to have, you know, saltwater fishing now,
mm-hmm.
you know. But the thing is the first time I got a 20-pound snook out from under a dock one time, I was done bass fishing. Not done, but that was sold on the saltwater side.
Right. Well, you know, that's the great thing about the river fishing is it's good year-round. You can do it all year long, and especially in the heat of the summer when it's just too hot to get out on a reservoir, you still got that cool water in those rivers to play and fish in. And those fish bite, you're talking about top water, they bite top water all day long, all year long.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah, I mean, they're, and it's nothing to have a 50 fish day. It's nothing to have a 50
wow.
fish.
That's awesome. Now, I can say when I used to fish some of the apartment complex ponds down here, right? And there's a certain time, it's like early summer when the June bugs start running, okay? And you get out there at night. And I used to use a little head and tiny torpedo and buzz that thing across the surface. And, man, it was like fish after fish after fish with that thing. Man, that was, you know, the June bug run and all of that. It was awesome.
Yeah,
You know, I don't know if you get – I don't know what time of year that is usually with you guys. But for us, it's like usually late May, early June, you know, around that time.
Exactly, which is why they call them June bugs, yeah.
Well, we wouldn't call them June bugs in August, you know.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we're like,
we're talking about river fishing. I got to give a shout out. You guys know Jeff Little?
No,
yes,
I don't know him.
I've fished with Jeff before.
Yeah, Jeff just came out with a River Kayak Fishing Skills DVD. He sent me a copy of it last week, and I watched it this week. And, man, I wish I would have had this thing when I first started doing this, because it would have cut a whole lot of my my learning time down.
Was Juan involved with that? Do you know, Mark?
I don't think so. I think Juan did some of the video, you know, work for with them, you know, as a trailer. But I, you know, kind of peeked at a couple of the shots that Jeff put out. And give me an idea for any of y'all who don't know Jeff. When you first meet him, he pulls up in his little truck. He opens his door to the truck, and bait and tackle and everything else comes pouring out of the passenger side. And all this guy eats, breathes, sleeps, kayak fishing for smallmouth bass. This guy will be out there cracking ice in the middle of January on the Susquehanna to get out to the wintering holes of these smallmouth bass just to feel the pull. And he's one of the, in my opinion, best northern smallmouth bass fishermen in the country. You can take, you know, river bass fishing, I should say. He's pretty good on the reservoir too, but, you know, when it comes down to fishing for big, slabby, 20-plus inch smallmouth bass, here you go, Jeff. You got the medal, buddy. I mean, he's...
Yeah, there's no doubt, look, you know, watching his DVD, that he knows what he's talking about. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, now Juan, I've seen some of the fish that Juan catches up there on Susquehanna Kayak Fishing PA.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yeah.
He can really get on some smallmouth, man. That dude knows what he's doing with that. Because I don't think I've ever seen smallmouth quite that big up there, you know, than he gets.
I mean, the only fish that I know that come to any kind of size of what, you know, you find in the Susquehanna, and then Jeff and Juan and a couple of those other guys are catching up there, you can only find on, like, Lake Erie,
right,
the New River. You know, those are the two main, you know, those are the three big, you know, smallmouth producers. I mean, you can go, like, on the New River, 9-plus pound fish is kind of like those guys up there, they just kind of shrug it off. Lake Erie, oh, we just caught, you know, 28-plus pound smallies. You know, shrug it off. Same thing with the Susquehanna. I mean, these guys that really pound and know these fish, excuse me, you know.
Yeah, Juan.
My hat's off to him.
Yeah, Juan definitely knows what he's doing. You know, seeing the size, and it's not like, you know, well, he's just, you know, catches a lot of fish. I mean, he does, but they're like trophy, you know. I mean, they're like really good smallmouth. We used to, I used to catch smallmouth up when I lived in upstate New York. Up in the Adirondacks, we used to go up there and go fishing. We go camping and fishing up there and stuff. And I always used to manage to get on the smallmouth up there.
Nah.
You know, not and I was just a wee bad cast, you know. And you know, we used to use what do you call those red and white spoons? You know, the devil something. Come on, Randy, help me out with that. What do you call those things?
A spoon?
Yeah. And it's red and white striped. Devil. I can't think of the name of them. But
yeah,
it's like a musky or a walleye spoon, and it's red and white striped. And I can't think of the name of. God, what in the heck are those things called? It'll come to me. I don't know. If anybody knows what they're called, call in. Now that'll bother me. But yeah, I used to catch them on those, believe it or not, or beetle spins. You could catch them on beetle spins too. Now, what do you use up there, Randy? What's your tactic for river bass up in Georgia?
Well, especially the shoal bass that I guide farm fish for mostly, while they'll hit pretty much anything. You know, I come from a bass fishing background of a lot of plastics, a lot of worms and things like that.
Yeah.
And I have found it's called a Yum Crawpappy, and they make a couple of different sizes of them, but the one these fish seem to like the most is the small one. It's they call it 2.75, so it's 2¾ inch long. And I put that on like a 3/16 ounce Texas rig bullet weight with a 2-aught hook, and
right,
man, I mean, that's what these fish in these rivers live off of. The, you know, I got some friends that are biologists, and they've done a lot of studies on these shoal bass up here. And whether it's the shoal bass or the largemouth in these rivers, the majority of their food is crawfish.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Now, the shoal bass eat a lot more bugs than the largemouth do, which helps a lot on the fly rod, you know. But,
yeah.
But if you just want to just wear the shoal bass out, that little young crawfish is just.
You catch so many fish, you get tired of it.
Any good bass fisherman knows they can be fishing wood. The moment you come up on any kind of boulder, rock, slab, anything, you put everything else down, you reach down, you pull out a jig or a soft plastic crawl, and that's what you're fishing with in the rocks. When you get out of the rocks, go back to throwing whatever else you want to throw. But for that time, you better be throwing a crawl imitation.
Exactly. So, We catch them on flukes, and we catch them on those Rapala J11s. We catch them on buzz baits. Like I said, you can throw a buzz bait all day long. You know, some days, and they'll just wear it out all day long. swim baits, we catch a lot of them on swim baits. But, you know, my go-to bait, if I'm out there with clients and they're, you know, they're not catching, we're putting crawfish on and catching.
That's the way. Hey, you know, you gotta do what works. My tactic was the 7-inch culprit dune bug colored worm, okay,
mm-hmm.
with no weight, in you know, rig it weedless, and you just I would cast it and just reel it fast enough just for the tail to move, you know, the little curly tail to move a little bit. And that was it, man. I mean, I could sit there and fish the same area all day with Rapalas and beetle spins and you name it, and nothing. And then as soon as I'd put that thing on and start crawling it like that, like just barely enough to move the tail, it was bam, fish after fish, bam, bam. Something about that slow, hanging presentation that used to work,
man. Especially on your muddy bottoms, you got those big, nasty, merly, you know, earthworms that come up out of the bottom. You know, and they kind of go up there and they kind of twist and turn because they're in the water. You know, that's any bass will, you know, drop what they're doing, drop the wife, you know, and run over and slurp that big boy up.
Now, no, it's really weird, though, because it would be, so I would find that fish, you know, like even in the little golf course ponds and apartment complex ponds, that they would be, color would matter. It was like it made a big difference. And you could be using June bug one day, and then tomorrow they want tomato, you know, or, you know, oil shad or something, you know. And it was always a color thing with bass, I noticed. It was really – and I couldn't figure out why. I didn't know if it was
– It's always – you can attest, Randy, color and that whole pursuit of – what do they want today is half the joy of bass fishing. Am I right?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You know, the river fish, again, are a little bit easier just because, you know, 9 out of 10 times they're doing on those crawls. And, you know, crawfish change colors as the year go along.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you need to fish one that's a orangey crawfish color, and sometimes it needs to be blue because those crawfish are blue. So, you know, sometimes that makes a difference, but I tell you, you know, for me, I don't carry lots and lots of colors. I carry the orange craw color. I carry a watermelon red color, and I carry a dark blue color, and those three do it for me. You know, they're going to get one of those three.
Now, do you, when you use spinner baits, or anything like that, what do you prefer color-wise on that, the orange or the chartreuse or white or anything like that? Because I found that, you know, most of the time the spinner bait skirts only come in certain colors.
Well, I got a buddy that he has a show. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is O'Neill Williams.
I've heard the name.
O'Neill Outside.
Yeah, O'Neill is a friend of mine, and he told me a long time ago, any color spinner bait works as long as it's chartreuse. And I have found that to be the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look at the, name dropping here, Kevin Van Dam. I never fished with spinners or cranks until I sat down and read his books. And if for any of y'all out there who just start off bass fishing or any sort of fishing, knowledge is power, you know, just like in schooling and everything else. And especially when you're trying to understand the process and how bass and other species work. When they came out with the Sexy Shad,
right?
They don't use any other cranks or any of the spinners than the Sexy Shad line because they have that chartreuse stripe or back to them. And
right.
If you look at any shad in the sunlight, they got a nice little chartreuse color. And all the chartreuse is like a fluorescent yellow, if I'm not mistaken. And that is bass sea in three colors. Three, four.
They do?
They see in five colors, let's say. White, black, red, blue, and yellow. And all that chartreuse is a really bright yellow. That's why 90% of your baits have those colors in it. Either a blue, a red, a yellow, a white, or black. And, you know, to be really successful, and everyone says, I use a white, or today it's a blue, or it's the color that they want. But chartreuse is definitely a key for those moving baits, i.e. spinners and cranks.
Yeah, in general, when the water's clear, like it is on our rivers a lot, I generally go to something that looks the color of, you know, the crawfish that are in the river at the time. But when it starts getting dark or murky or muddy, then I'm going to go to a really dark bait, you know, because especially like a spinner bait. And that's a reaction bait. That bait's coming by them really fast most of the time, and they just have to jump on it. So all you got to do is make sure they see it. Yeah,
you know, it was always amazing to me, you know, like in Florida, you know, we have the tan and stained water, you know, it's like fishing in a cup of coffee. And
right.
I was always amazed at that, how dark the water was, and you use a black worm, how it would, you know, that was like the best thing to use.
Silhouette.
I know, I never could understand that because you couldn't even, you know, you'd see it right next to where you were fishing and you couldn't even see the thing in the water, you know. And it was amazing
right.
to me that the fish could pick that up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we get a lot of different colors, you know, different water conditions here too. You know, some days it'll be clear, some days it'll be murky, some days it'll be, you know, stained. And we get, you know, and that's what dictates what color, you know, like DOA shrimp I'm going to use on any given day is, you know, the water conditions. You know, whether you got to put it out there so the fish can see it. You know.
Right.
But yeah, man, it's. That's really cool. And Chip was also telling me that, you know, you have all, I didn't realize that there was that many different species of bass. I always thought that there was only maybe five strains, you know, with the red eye and Swanee and all this other stuff, you know, in Florida anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There was eight strains of bass. Man, that's interesting. Now, do you ever get you ever go down to, you know, say the Everglades or Okeechobee or anywhere like that to go bass fishing?
I have fished Okeechobee once. My wife has a uncle that owns a big ranch down there just south of Okeechobee. Usually,
nice.
Used to go down there every Martin Luther King holiday and shoot pigs with my bow. So
cool.
I would. I try to go over to Lake Okeechobee some. I am planning on a trip with a couple of guys. It's not set yet, but I think I'm going to be spending the first week in April in Flamingo this year. So.
Oh, cool. There you go. And you taking kayaks with you?
Yeah, taking kayaks, and this will probably be a fly rod trip. So.
All right. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, it's funny because kayak fishing radio oftentimes turns into fly fishing radio. And, you know, because a lot of times we have Redfish Chuck on, and sometimes folks from the Outdoor Bloggers Network or something, you know, And we start talking about tying flies and fly fishing and fly gear and all sorts of stuff like that. So I'm no stranger to that stuff either, man. I'll tell you, I was obsessed with fly fishing there for about, I don't know, a couple of years, where that's all. I didn't even pick up another rod and reel for a couple of years because I was so obsessed with fly fishing. And if it wasn't fly fishing, it was rubbish, you know. And if I wasn't fly fishing, I was tying flies, or I was like, I was writing about fly fishing, or I was reading about it or something, you know. I mean, there was always it's an obsession, man. Now do you tie your own flies and stuff, or?
Well, I have not. I did a little bit of fly fishing when I was younger. In the last 2 years, I've gotten into it more because, man, these fly fishermen guys, you know, they'll travel all around the world just to catch one of everything in the world. And, of course, if you want to catch a shoal bass, you're going to come up here with me and go shoal bass fishing. So I was getting more and more fly guys calling me to go take a trip. And I said, man, I better start learning more about this. So the last couple of years I've bought some rods and learned to fly fish. I am lucky in that I have enough friends that tie that I don't have to worry too much about tying myself.
Absolutely. That's yeah, that's the way to do it, man. If you know people that do it, you know, they can keep you in flies for a long time. Now, what kind of rig would you use bass fishing, like a 6-weight or a 5-weight or something like that?
Yeah, I've got a lot of rods and reels now, but mostly I'm throwing either a 5, but most of the time I'm throwing a 7-weight Sage rod.
Oh, okay.
And, Z-axis Sage and a Nautilus reel. But I've got the Sage largemouth rod and the smallmouth rod as well. So
really?
Sometimes I play with those. So.
Now, do you notice a difference in like action or anything? The way that they, you know, are they easier to cast, or is it sensitivity to, you know, differentiate from like a largemouth rod to a smallmouth rod?
Yeah, you can feel the difference in there, but both of those rods are really, they're not good for doing a lot of false casting. It's a very fast rod to fish with.
Okay.
You know, you pick it up, throw it back out there, pick it up, throw it back out there. You know?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, it's not, I wouldn't call it a very nice casting rod, you know. It's a throw it out there rod. You know, it's a big, heavy line on there. So.
It's meant to catch fish,
exactly.
Not catch things.
Right.
In the air, yeah, like knots. I can tell you right now, I can do a full bimini twist in the middle of the air on a fly rod. I've done that.
I've been known to do that.
Yeah, you know, I always notice that about, you know, fishing. You know, you can never tie knots as good as the wind can.
Yeah.
Oh, man, especially with braid, man. Sometimes if you're not careful... that's one thing. The one thing that I hate about braided line is that it picks up a lot of, you get, you know, you're sitting there and you cast and it's like, what is that? And it looks like a, you know, looks like you got an extra fly there about, you know, 20 feet up from your leader.
Or when you bird's nest the big cast reel and next thing you know,
yeah,
here come the seagulls buried to land in your reel.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
You were just calling them for dinner, right?
Yeah.
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 Oh my God. Well, no, that's, you know, I'll tell you, the fly tie-in thing, that was as much an addiction for me as going out fishing, you know, and you know, it's just like there's this whole community of people that's what they do, that's what they love, and they'll, you know, you're sitting there and you're combing through thousands and thousands of these patterns, you know, on, oh God, everywhere you look, there's blogs dedicated to it and everything else. I'm trying to think of a good one. Captain Matt Wirt out of Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, and he does winters in Pine Island, Florida. And he has his blog, and he has some of the best fly patterns on there, you know, videos showing you how to do it and everything, you know.
Half the flies I see just look like a puff of, you know, chest hair put on a hook half the time for me.
Oh, but come on.
I mean, people say the same thing about my jigs, and boy, do I love my jigs. Oh, boy.
It's whatever works, but I'll tell you, I'm bringing the vise and the bag of fly tying fluff. And I'm gonna teach you guys how to make Clouser minnows, bead chain eye Clouser minnows.
Right.
But you can use those anywhere. You can use those any sort of fishing anywhere. It's probably one of the top five flies that you can ever use anywhere.
And yeah, you can throw those on the river up here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They work.
A chartreuse and white. Clouser minnow about a 2-aught. Size will catch fish anywhere in the world, man, in any kind of water, anywhere.
I haven't gotten into the tying is because this kayak fishing takes enough of my time as it is. I only have so many days in the week, and the last thing I need is to be sitting on a tying bench all the time. So.
Well, that's what you do at night.
I'm either writing about, reading about, dreaming of kayak fishing, man.
That's right, man. Me too. Now, the sick thing is I haven't been fishing since about the week before Thanksgiving was the last time I went.
Oh, so you go that long.
I know, dude, I'm like, my chest hair is almost gone, you know, because I'm bald, you know, so I don't have any on my head to pull out, but I've been pulling out my chest hair. Okay, so I'm dying to go. I'm used to going like 3 and 4 times a week. And right after Thanksgiving, my car died, okay? And it's, you know, it's one of those cars where you it would cost more money to fix it than what it's worth, you know?
Right.
So I've been holding out all winter long and saving my lunch money. And everything, and I'll be getting a new car here in the next month or so, you know, the new bad backcast mobile, so I can actually, and you know, I really honestly don't mind being carless and not having a car, and the only thing that motivates me to actually get a car, you know, that I really need a car for, is to get my kayak to and from the water. And that's like the only reason, you know, I don't mind being carless. I can walk to work in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. The grocery store is right across the street, you know, so and I'm a simplistic type of person, you know, so that kind of stuff, you know, I don't really care. But, you know, getting me to the water, that's the only thing, you know, and I can, you know, drive to the beach in 15 minutes and be out fishing and no problem. Is there a way I could hook my kayak wheels up to my bike? Or something, you know, I mean.
I saw a kid do it once.
I've considered it, man. There's been a couple of times.
Man, you wouldn't work out here where I live. I'm in the middle of nowhere, man. My nearest neighbor is a mile away, and
the nearest store
is probably 4 miles, 5 miles from me or something.
That's awesome. I used to live way out in the country like that in upstate New York, you know. Just to get to the convenience store, it was like a 15-mile trip.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you needed milk or bread or something like that,
you're way out there in deliverance country, aren't you, Randy?
That's just
I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Paddle faster, I hear banjos. But
exactly.
it probably doesn't take you that long to get to where you're going to launch your kayak, though, I can bet.
No, 15 minutes or so I can be on one of my favorite rivers.
There you go. Yeah. Now, how many rivers do you fish up there, Randy?
I live about, there's three within 30 minutes of me, three different rivers that I usually guide on, one of those three. So.
Nice. Now, do you have a website or anything?
I do. It's called GeorgiaRiverPirate.com. How simple.
Right on. I was looking at that the other day, man. You got some really nice fish there, Randy.
Well, I probably ought to get in there and work on it, but you know what? The site's there, and, you know, I do a little guiding, but I work in an architectural firm 5 days a week, so the guiding is not what I do for making a living or making money.
Oh, no. You know, and as long as it's there, You know, the more that you play with it and fiddle with it and everything, the more of a pain it is, you know.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, man.
So, yeah, I started it really just because I go do all these seminars and people are like, man, this kayak fishing is cool. Where can we try this at? And you know what? There just wasn't anywhere. I couldn't say go somewhere and, you know, get in this kayak with this guy and he'll take you. So there wasn't anywhere. So I started it. So.
That's awesome. And so you just became the dude. And you know, if you want to go fishing, they just call you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, man. Now let me ask you this. I've been giving Mark here a hard time because, you know, when he got here from Virginia today, and he's like, hey, look in the back of my truck here, and he's got like 14 tackle boxes, okay, of stuff. Now, I understand when I bass fished, I had a couple of tackle boxes that I would take with me. You know, and you got one for crankbaits, and you got one for wintertime, and you got one for summertime, and whatever, you know. I mean, now tell me, Randy, do you take all that much stuff with you when you go like he does? I mean, he probably needs a second kayak to drag behind him.
No, I'm not like even some of the guys at Fish Lanier that have all the bait tanks and have that much stuff. What I use really for a tackle box, Plano, which is one of my sponsors, they make this. It's more like a boat box, really. It's a big orange box with a lid on it. It's got a seal around it.
Yeah, is that the Guide Series waterproof box?
Yeah,
use the same ones. Those are awesome. Well,
that's what I use, and I put about three or four of those 360 Plano boxes in there.
Yeah,
with different stuff in there, and that's what I use. That's all I use. That one box.
That's what. Hey, I love those, man.
I carry at least, when I'm bass fishing, I carry at least four. I'm with Flambeau, so na-na-na-na-na. I carry four boxes. You know, you got to have the jig box. You got to have the soft plastic box. You got to have a crankbait box. You got to have your topwater and spinnerbait box. So I'm about the same way.
Yeah, it's a little different with me is, with my soft plastics, I carry those in one of those, like a Bass Pro Shop worm binder kind of plastic bag.
Yeah.
And I just leave them in their bags, whatever they come in, so I don't have to take them out of that.
Exactly. And, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Except without the binder.
Right.
Maybe they usually end up in my lap, so I stopped using the binder.
No, they, I was showing them my stuff, and I take like a fanny bag full of, you know, all I need is a couple of, you know, I got like one tray for my mirror lures and stuff, and a couple of bags of DOA shrimps, and that's pretty much, I mean, I just keep it basic, and you know, the way that I look at it, you can take 100 tons of stuff out there with you, but if you don't get on fish, you're never going to catch anything,
You know, if you do it long enough, you know that there are a few lures that work, and you only need, as we talked about a while ago, a few colors of those. No sense in having, you know, the whole rainbow of colored worms in your bag. It's just not necessary. So.
No, I know. And, you know, with saltwater, it's a little bit different, you know, as far as, like, I mean, me personally, I don't think that you need that much. You know, DOA shrimp is, like, I mean, that's like my go-to lure, and I always talk about that, but that's what works, you know. And you can have every single lure from Bass Pro Shops, and you can go out, and if you're not on fish, you're not going to catch anything.
Exactly.
So that's what I always tell people, you know. 9 times out of 10, if I can get on fish, now, you know, there is the odd time when I do get on fish, and I can't catch. They're not interested in a DOA shrimp or something for whatever reason, you know. And it's, you know, maybe they want a smaller bait or something like that. But that doesn't happen more times than not. If you can get on fish, you know, you don't need. I mean, fly tires. I know fly fishermen that make some sort of a lure out of a drinking straw. Okay, and you just take a drinking straw. Have you seen that?
I use that's what I use for my Spanish mackerel. The colored straws from like 7-Eleven, Subway. Not promoting them at all, but so they don't promote us. they you know, you take those straws, you take a long shank hook on like a 1/0, you know, J hook, you know, tie up about 6 of them in a row and troll them behind my kayak when I'm going after Spanish mackerel or bluefish.
You know, no, there's a way if
they work every time.
You just take a regular drinking straw and you cut it like diagonally, you know, like and make it, I don't know, four inches. But it's just one little piece,
yeah.
And you just tie that right onto your leader, and you cast, and it catches fish. Now, if you can, you know, with a hook, and if you can catch fish with a drinking straw, you know, I mean, you can just about bet that you can catch fish using anything,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
And but the key is you got to get on fish, and if you don't get on fish, you're not going to catch any, you know, no matter what you're using. So that's always my. I tell people that all the time because people will ask me, "What do you use, man?" And I'm, you know, here you go. This is my tackle box right here. So what? When you said you got some seminars coming up? Where are you going to be, Randy?
Well, this weekend, I will be with a bunch of guys from the Georgia Kayak Fishing website.
We're going to be doing a
whole day of seminars down here at the Go Fish Center in Perry, Georgia.
Awesome. I think Dino was talking about that on the
Xbox. Dino's going to be down there with us as well. Yeah.
Yeah, Chip's on he hosts the 8 o'clock show, and Dino's always talking about Georgia kayak fishing. And did you do were you at the boat show?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't in their booth. I was in one of our distributors' booths I was in there for Ocean Kayak. But
awesome.
Yeah, I worked the boat show. I work a lot of shows in the spring like this.
Yeah, but I heard that you're the man with the seminars, man. That you're the dude that, you know, is really good at this, man. So you get where is this place going to be again?
It's in Perry, Georgia, at the Go Fish Center. The governor of Georgia started a Go Fish campaign for the state, and he built a kind of a fish museum down there in Perry. And I was down there for the grand opening back in the spring, and we're going back down there this weekend.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard about that. Who was talking about that not too long ago? Was it?
That would be Chip and Dino. He had Tony on like last week or the week before on the 8 o'clock
right.
show.
Tony
Narcisse?
Narcisse,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, and Tony was, you know, go to the boat show, go to this, go to that. You know how Tony can be.
Right.
So, yeah, they've been plugging away for the go the fishing, I'm sorry, the thingamajigger and Georgia thinger.
Right.
So.
And then next weekend you can catch me at Bass Pro Shop in Macon. I'll be there for the
awesome.
Weekend. Yeah.
That's cool. What time?
I'll be there all day Saturday and Sunday. That weekend, the last weekend.
Are you doing seminars, or are you just going to be? Are you doing seminars, or are you just demonstrating? You know, casting off the bow of one of the boats there.
Well, actually, that weekend, while I love to answer questions about kayak fishing, and I certainly will, that weekend I will be repping for two of my sponsors, Hummingbird and Minn Kota. So.
Awesome. Now, do you use a fish finder rig in your kayak?
I do. I have the 385 Hummingbird with Navionics chips in there.
Now that thing, that's the way to go. That Navionics chip that's awesome. And you know the cool thing about that is, well, at least I think so anyway. Is let's say I want to go, I want to go fishing with Mark, and I can just hand him my Navionics chip for his machine if we have the same machine. And he can have all of the same all of my same fishing spots right there on his unit. I thought that was really cool. That was a really cool way to go.
Yep.
So, but I don't know. I'm not that far. The most advanced that I get myself personally is a handheld GPS. You know, maybe if I'm fishing down at 10,000 islands or somewhere where you can get lost like that. You know, But no, that's, I think that's awesome, man. That's a, that's a really nice unit, man, and you can get a lot of different it does a lot of different things, you know. I think that's the, is that the one that you can get the weather report on it too if you're
not on the 385. You have to move up to one of our bigger units.
Yeah.
To get that.
Now,
but,
how do you power your hummingbirds?
Using a 7-amp, it's like a, I don't know, it's just a sealed cell battery. Get them from Bass Pro Shop. They use them in those deer feeders and things like that. Alarm system batteries, you know.
Okay.
So,
cool.
And that one of those 7-amp batteries will run that thing for like, well, I, like when I go to the boat show for 3 days, it'll run that thing for like 3 days at the boat show. So.
No kidding, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Is it a certain kind or just a regular old what was it again?
It's a 7-amp sealed, you know.
What do you call it? What was
Deep
the,
Cycle or?
No. What brand was that? That come on, help me out, Mark. My brain falls out, you know, after 11 o'clock.
I don't really. I don't think it matters what. If you order the Hummingbird, the kayak fishing kit that comes with a transducer and it'll come with a battery and everything, you know, it comes with that 7-amp battery. So
that's
okay.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. Well, Randy, we're right at the end of our hour, man. So,
oh man,
can you tell us where we can find you on the web one more time?
GeorgiaRiverPirate.com, but the easiest way to find me is at GeorgiaKayakFishing.com. I'm on there all the time.
Awesome.
I'm on a lot of websites, but that's the one you can find the River Pirate there just about any time.
That's cool. We get a lot of folks from Georgia Kayak Fishing on our radio show, mostly the 8 o'clock show.
Right.
But, yeah, that's where, you know, Dino's always on there. Tony Narcisse comes on once in a while. Who else? There's... Oh,
Chip.
The mechanic.
Yeah.
Mechanics. Yeah, Chip's on there. You know, so, yeah, a bunch of people, man. So that's awesome. So, yeah, check out the River Pirate. And, you know, call him up. Go fish and go see one of his seminars, man. But thanks for coming on, Randy. And we really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. You know, we just love sitting around talking about fishing. And, you know, we need all the tips that we can get, you know, because we're going on a 4-day road trip here, man.
Oh, so, I wish you guys some luck, man. I wish I could go with you.
Oh, me too, man. Me too. And thanks for coming on, Randy. And
all right,
we'll see you again.
All right. Y'all guys keep some tight lines, man.
All righty.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right. See ya.
All right. That was the River Pirate, Randy Vining. From the Georgia River Pirate. He's a river bass fisherman. That's
he
a
is.
Guide. You can check him out at GeorgiaKayakFishing.com. And so what do you think? Me and Mark, we just went out to the wing place down the street, man. And we had, I know Mark's not going to agree with me, but we had like, to me, that's like the best wings on the planet, you know. Right down the street there at the always dreaded wing. I'm not going to mention the name of the establishment, but the wing place down the street. And we were down there. You know, Mark got into town, you know, after getting stuck in race traffic out there around Orlando. And, you know, so what time were we leaving tomorrow?
Whenever we get up and get everything packed up. And then...
Do you think that you're bringing more stuff or me?
We'll see.
You think it's a tie?
We'll take pictures after we unload everything in Little Talbot.
Are we
going to
need
from,
a trailer?
I don't think we're going to need the trailer. you know, but your yacht of a kayak might be a problem.
My yacht of a kayak. Come on. Hey,
but,
man, it's a battle wagon.
Yeah. I just got to do the shout out to Kayak Kevin. He won the RPFF Film Festival.
Yeah, I saw that.
He finally won. Way to go, brother. Wish you were down here fishing with us. But congrats, man. Awesome video. If you haven't seen it, I've plugged it a bunch of times. I'll do it one more time and probably six more times after this. Go out to kayakheaven.com and pick up the Fish in the Chesapeake Bay or the Chesapeake Bay Tour. Is a video. It is a excellent, excellent DVD. It's one of those where you can pop it in during, you know, getting a bunch of family over or whatever and, you know, doing your own thing, and they can just sit there and just let it play and play and play, because it is truly amazing. The resource that Virginia and Maryland have in the great watershed that it is. And Kevin does a great job of showing that. Congrats again, brother, as always.
Yeah, and, you know, he just, he's supposed to send those out to me this week. You know, I should probably go check the mail and see if they got here. Because I'd love to check them out. I keep hearing about it. I keep, you know, Yak Angler will mention it once in a while. And, you know, between you guys and, you know, Rob Choi and a bunch of other people, I keep hearing about this Kayak Kevin guy, you know, and all these videos and everything else. And apparently it's a great thing. So I'm really excited to get them and watch them and write some reviews on it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I did. I saw that he won an award.
Yeah, I had it on my phone, Kevin. You probably listen to this, you know, probably Tuesday or Wednesday, and you're going to give me a call like, dude, you forgot which one it is. It was on my phone. I accidentally deleted it. I remember it's like RPFF, so it's Film Festival with something RP in the front. and I do apologize, Kevin, for not knowing the exact award that you won. But definitely a huge congrats, brother. You've been working very, very hard for that with many of your videos and your blogs from, you know, 06, 05, when you first started putting them up on kayakheaven.com.
Well, we got to get you, first of all, you got to get the hookup, but we got to get him on the show.
I know that
he used to call Chip's show, you know, he was all, you know, jacked up about kayak fishing, and I love having people like that on there.
Best way to explain Kevin when you get him out in the water or even thinking about kayaking is you're going to want like a shield, you know, with bodyguards, because he gets really excited. And you know, being out and, you know, fishing with Kevin and, you know, just being able to sit there at Ocean's East Tackle every so often when I can get a hold of him and sit there and talk to him is truly a lot of fun, picking his brain, picking my brain, picking everyone's brain. You got to understand that Kevin was originally a touring kayak guy who turned into a fisherman. And that's where his bread and butter has always been, is touring in his kayak, going from, what'd you go, from Pensacola to Norfolk, Virginia, the one trip. And, I mean, you know, he's a touring kayak guy who does a lot of big fish fishing.
That's cool.
And again, Kevin, if you hear this, brother, congrats, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, after seeing all these pictures that you guys have, you and Rob Choi and you know, all these big stripers up there, okay, I got a chub for some stripers, man.
Oh, wait till you see some of these big red drum we'll be pulling off the Eastern Shore. You'll be like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, you mean up there or this weekend?
This is up in Virginia on the Eastern Shore in shoals, you know, with waves 4 foot high rolling around, and we're pulling up, you know, 50 plus inch redfish, red drum, big and bogus.
Yeah, those are pretty big, dude. Now, Kayak Wars this week, D was overcome with a onslaught of just short fish. Okay. She was getting, you know, trout 19.75, you know, 19.75. I'm like, listen, D, you just got to pull the tails really hard. You know?
Step on them a little bit.
And Chip was saying, well, we need to get you the Ronco fish stretcher.
Yes.
Oh man, so she did get us on the board this week with a It was a pretty nice pompano. I can't remember exactly how big it was, but it was right around 20 inches or 17 inches. Yeah, it was well, you know, over here, the ones that we get are hand-sized, you know.
Yeah, that's about the size we get up in Virginia.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I was maybe it was 15 or 17 inches. Anyway, it was a pretty big, pretty nice-sized pompano. So, you know, congratulations, D, on that, and thank you for getting us some points. Also, we got our fifth member on our team. We got the always illustrious Bill Howard Haywood as our fifth member. And so we're glad to have Haywood on board. And hopefully you get busy too, Bill, and get on the board. I know, I'm not pointing any fingers because I'm the worst one, man. I hate getting on there and I'm looking at the scoreboard and seeing a big old zero next to my name, man. I hate that. So we'll be getting on there in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully I'm getting on the board this weekend.
Yeah.
So I definitely got to look at my camera and make sure that my camera is all set, the time date thing, so I don't have any sort of problem with that, you know, getting fish rejected. But I believe in the next couple of weeks we're going to have Rick Underbrink and the other guy's name escapes me at the moment, pardon me, from the guys that came up with the whole Kayak Wars, the guys that run it. So we're going to have them on the show either next week or the week after. And the cool thing is we're going to be able to ask them a whole bunch of questions that that everybody's been wondering, you know, how you can enter, how people get points for fish without the fish even being in the picture. That was something that somebody asked me. I haven't actually seen it, but apparently somebody in our division, in the Southeast Division, caught a tarpon, and they didn't have the picture of the tarpon, but they got the points for it. It was just the guy fighting the tarpon. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't read about it. I didn't look at it. Somebody just emailed me a question, and I don't know. But when we have these the guys from Kayak Wars on the show, we'll be able to ask them. So tune in. It's either, like I said, it's either going to be this week or next week. Last weekend, it's whenever we can get them on. It's, and I believe it's next week or the week after. But over the last weekend, I was really, really working the email hard, trying to get a hold of people, to come on and be a guest on the show. Some people got back to me. Some people said hell no. Some people said nothing and didn't get back to me. So, but we got some good. I got some good guests coming up, and I don't want to say anything or ruin it until I get it nailed down. You know, until I nail down a date. That is, I got a confirmation on. Let's see, a long time running. A fishing TV show host, which I'm not going to mention any names right now. Let's see, what else? A supermodel that loves paddle sports. You know who that is, Mark.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not going to name any names.
She's on the cover of...
Hey, No, you didn't hear that. So, no, but, you know, we've been working it hard. So if you know anybody, if you know some folks, you know, in the biz that want to come on and talk about kayak fishing, or if you just want to call up and talk about kayak fishing, you're more than welcome to. But I tell you what, man, you know, I'm ready to hit the hay and get up early.
Yep.
And get on the road tomorrow and get fishing, you know. So I'm figuring an hour to load my stuff tomorrow. What do you think?
About an hour, yeah.
Try to figure out where your kayak's going to go. Maybe just leave it behind.
I know. Well, you know, I considered that because there's going to be everybody's bringing extra boats, you know.
Yeah, but your yak, and it's your baby.
I know.
It's
I'm
like
not
putting on someone else's underwear. It just doesn't work.
I don't know. I've never done that before, Mark. but yeah. No, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, Yak Sushi's bringing up a couple of those Diablo paddle sports boats, the Chupacabra, I believe it's called, and the Adios, two models of Diablo paddle sports there. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of weird naming a boat an Adios. I don't know, man.
The Chupacabra, the blood-sucking weasel.
Well, that's kind of cool. But an adios, I mean, that seems like, you know, adios muchachos if you're taking one of those out. But I don't know. That's just me. But I'm excited to try those out, man. I've been,
definitely.
You know, I love those aircraft carrier sized, you know, big barge kayaks like that, man.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about giving that a test run. And I believe he's bringing a new canoe as well.
Yeah, I believe so. He's going to have his natives with him, so.
Natives, really?
Yeah, he paddles a native kayak. Yeah.
Yak Sushi does?
Yes.
No.
He paddles a native.
Since when?
Native Ultimate, 12.5.
Really?
Looks like a big banana.
I thought he was always
with a bigger banana sitting in it.
Yeah, right? Well, he needs a big boat like that because he's got a big head. No, but I can you know, I thought he was an okay guy, an ocean kayak guy.
No, that's that would be Adam, who's usually the okay guy.
I thought Yak Sushi had a big old yellow okay.
No, it's native. Cause I remember having to help bail water out of it last year during
really?
The Lake Harding tournament. Yeah, he's completely swamped the back end of his kayak. Jiminy Christmas.
Is that tree. When Isaac came down and smoked
yep.
everybody?
With his 4-inch little rod. God.
Yeah. But, no, I'm excited about trying out some new boats, you know, because basically my Malibu is the only thing I've ever paddled, and I love it, you know. But just to see what I'm missing, you know, I'm going to go to the dark side and hopefully my kayak doesn't try to drown me next time out, you know.
That's why you wear your PFD, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Then there you go.
My
you
kayak,
wear your PFD, you never have to worry about drowning, do you?
My kayak, that's right. My kayak is like Christine. It's called Christine. No, it's not. But, all right, man, this is bringing us to the end of another episode of the always popular Kayak Fishing Radio Network's Late Show. And I am Rob, a Bad Bat Cast DeVore. And you can check out my blog at www.abadbatcast.com. Shoot me an email, rob@abadbatcast.com. I know it's hard to... You should have seen when I had the... before I switched over to my own domain, when I had Blogspot and trying to tell people how to get to my blog. It was, you know, Rob, badbatcast.com at blogspot.net or whatever it was. And they were just kind of looked at me and smiled and nodded, you know. But, yeah, it's a lot simpler. Badbatcast.com, abadbatcast.com. You know, or just Google a bad batcast and you should find it. All right, then. So that brings us to the end. Mark, tell the folks adios.
Adios. Go to yakangler.com. If you're not, you're wrong.
What is that? How much did Mark pay you for that? No, I'm kidding.
It took me the whole 14-hour drive down here to Tampa to figure that out.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, we're going to get some sleep, and you got an early day and a long drive to Little Talbot Island in Jacksonville, Florida, for the Yak Angler Shindig. So this has been the Kayak Fishing Radio Late Show, brought to you by yakangler.com and Blog Talk Radio. So until next time, have a happy President's Day.
Bye-bye.